Please stand. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil.
Jesus said, if any man would come after me,
let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Please be seated for the readings. The first reading for this evening comes from Isaiah chapter 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue mutters wickedness. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities, transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning back from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart lying words. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our third and final reading, as well as our sermon text for this evening, comes from Luke chapter 22. Then they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour still, another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man was with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
At this time, we continue with the Lenten responsory in your service booklet. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Please stand as we confess together the basics of our faith. The Ten Commandments.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
The Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight we have returned once again to God's church. In repentance and faith, we return to God's presence seeking his forgiveness, the forgiveness that only our Lord and Savior can give. What it is that we need to return from tonight is denial. See, as we found Jesus in our text for this evening, he is in the palace of the high priest. He has been betrayed, arrested, and now paraded back into the city. During his trial, Jesus has the interaction with Peter that we heard about tonight. It was an interaction of denial. And it wasn't just one time or two times. But three whole times, Peter had the opportunity to confess that he was affiliated with the Christ, with Jesus himself. But not one time, not two times, but three times, he denied his Lord and Savior. Refused to admit that he had any affiliation whatsoever. Peter was given the opportunity to be bold and strong, but what did he do instead but show how truly weak he is? Weak and selfish. Because in that moment, he's not concerned about anyone else except for himself. His own well-being. He needs to save his own skin, lest he be put up there with Jesus. Put on trial along with the Savior. Maybe hung on one of those crosses instead of the criminals that were on either of Jesus' side in his own crucifixion. We can't help but notice what stark contrast there is between good times and bad times. It was only a few hours prior that Peter had confessed in the presence of Jesus when they were all having this wonderful time together. Peter says, "Even if I must die with you, Lord, I will never deny you." And all the disciples agreed. All the disciples said the same. But that was before their life was on the line. That was before Peter knew that Jesus was about to be crucified. And so Peter shows that he is a fair-weather fan of Jesus. And he shows us that talk is cheap. But while Peter is busy opening his mouth in denial, Jesus is experiencing something completely different. Jesus suffers silently for Peter's sake. He opens not his mouth, not even one word, as person after person comes before him and slaps him in his face and makes sure to spit. That way he is so disgraced before the entire court that was before him. They put a blindfold on him. And they ask him to prophesy, "Lord, if you are the Savior, if you are the Messiah, then you would know who's spitting on you. You would know who is hitting you in the face." But Jesus doesn't defend himself. And we know why these people did this. We know why Jesus has to be mocked and beaten. It's because if he can be beaten, if he can be spit upon, then he clearly is not the Messiah. If the people can have this kind of control over him, then surely all of his words that he spoke were a lie. Peter's warming himself by a fire. And Jesus is being ridiculed. But there is one moment that they share together. As Peter is denying Jesus for the third time, the rooster crows. And Peter looks over and he meets the gaze of his Savior. And then Peter remembers. Jesus told me this was going to happen. If there was ever a sinner who needed Jesus, it was Peter. In that moment, when he was face to face, and with all the crowd surrounding them, they meet each other's gaze. But we need Jesus too. If there's ever a sinner like Peter, it's you and it's me. Because we have opportunities to prove that we are followers of Christ. In the way that we act, in the way that we speak, in the things that we do, we have opportunities to give speech, truth to the fact that we are indeed Christians. But sometimes when those opportunities arise, what do? We neglect them. We live as if we aren't affiliated with Christ. We don't want to be labeled as one of those Christians. And so we remain silent. We deny our affiliation with Jesus. Honestly, it's just as if us good Christians were the ones beating and mocking our Savior. And then against all other things, we try to justify our sin. We resolve and we think only of ourselves and we go, well, anybody would have done the same thing in my situation. No, we're so busy worrying about our careers or our entertainment or our welfare or what other people will think about us that we miss the opportunity. And not once, and it's not twice. And it hasn't been three times or four times or five. It's happened throughout our entire lives. Imagine if you were Peter on that night and you met Jesus' gaze. What was Jesus' expression? What was the look on Jesus' face? Scripture doesn't tell us, at least not explicitly. But what do you think Peter saw in the eyes of Jesus? Was it disappointment? Was it anger? Was it a plea for help of some type? Was it God's wrath that Peter saw there in Jesus' eyes? No. I can tell you for certain that it wasn't, because Jesus is a master of applying law and gospel. He knows just when to convict someone of their sin, and he knows just when to comfort somebody. And when Peter and Jesus lock gaze, Peter knows how utterly destroyed he is as a man. He knows how utterly helpless he is. Jesus knows the remorse that Peter feels. And so we can be certain that Jesus' look is one of forgiveness and mercy and compassion. Jesus had told Peter already. It's not as if Jesus is surprised. He knew this very thing was about to happen. And in fact, he told Peter that it was going to happen for Peter's sake. It was just for this moment that Jesus had to clue Peter into what was going to happen in the future. That way, in the midst of his failure, he would be comforted. And so it is with us. Our sin, it brings us to the point of remorse and regret. I don't know how many times we've struggled with the same sins over and over and over again. And once we commit them and we convince ourselves, this will be the last time, I'll put the sin away for sure. But not once, not twice, not three times, over and over, we backslide into those sins. But then we come to the church. And especially in this church, we have this privilege to see a figure of our Savior standing before us, with his arms outstretched in a gesture of blessing. Not in wrath, not in anger, but to deliver you forgiveness. Because it's in Jesus that we find love and forgiveness and compassion from God. It's in the church that he warns us of our sin, that way we might be strengthened by his word of forgiveness. It is here that we come to be reminded of what he has done for us, that he opened not his mouth, that way he could be condemned to death, put on a cross, and shed his blood for you. And notice that even when Jesus is dying on the cross, he doesn't deny his disciples. He doesn't even deny those people who are before him, saying, well, my forgiveness is for everybody here, except for that soldier who drove the nail through my right arm. No, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He says, Father, forgive them, even though they have failed and sinned against me. Father, forgive them in spite of the fact that they weep bitterly over their sins. My friends, when we return from denial, just as Peter did, you know what Jesus does for Peter? He actually gives him three more chances. After Jesus is raised back to life, Peter and Jesus, they have this conversation where Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And of course, Peter says, well, you know I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? And of course, Peter answers, well, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. And the third time, Jesus asks, Peter, do you love me? And Peter once again confesses that he loves his Savior. And Peter's task that the Lord gives him is to feed God's sheep, to continue to speak the word of truth to those he comes in contact with, to no longer deny his Savior, but to speak boldly. And he does. And in fact, Peter speaks boldly the words of Jesus all the way up until he does receive the same death that Jesus received. Peter is killed for his faith. But even as he's killed, he never denies his Savior again. My friends, tonight we return from denial. Tonight we trust in our Savior's forgiveness, even though we have utterly denied him throughout our lives, but we do it knowing that God will give us opportunities in the future to be faithful to him, to speak his words, and to live our lives according to it. And so when we rise to this task of confession, when we admit our affiliation with Christ, the church is built up, and we learn to trust even more fervently in our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing together our next hymn. Please stand for prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, cleanse us by the power of your redeeming blood, that in purity and peace we may worship and adore your holy name. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Bless Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you will forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night, for into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, all things, that your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. At this time, I will direct you to your hymn sheet as we sing together stanzas 1, 5, and 6.
The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve.
Amen.
Please be seated.